And now it's time for Power of Prophecy, continuing the legacy of Tex Mars, exposing evil, and promoting Jesus Christ as Savior. Here's your host, Jerry Barrett.
Hello, friends, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. I'm your host, Jerry Barrett. Honored to have you join me again this week. I have asked my buddy Pat McShay to come back on the show. As you know, he is an investigative reporter extraordinaire, and it is my pleasure to welcome Pat back. Pat, welcome to Power of Prophecy.
Hey, Jerry, it's great to be back.
Now, Pat has recently written a new article on Bill Barr. Boy, it's full of great information, Pat. I was not impressed with his tenure as Attorney General for Donald Trump, but I had no idea he was such a connected deep stater.
Yeah, you know, I wrote when Trump first appointed him, I said that Bill Barr was nothing but a deep state fixer and that, you know, things would end badly and he would not help Trump advance his agenda. And it turned out I was right. He badmouthed Trump when he was still in office. And he's continued to badmouth him since he got out. And you know, I'm as convinced as ever that, and I wrote this, that I think that they brought him in. Trump didn't pick a lot of these people like Christopher Wray. They were recommended to him by people like Rod Rosenstein and some of these guys that I wouldn't trust to make these recommendations. Rod Rosenstein was old friends with Bob Mueller and Jim Comey and Christopher Wray and guys like Bill Barr. Barr came in to handle Trump and to keep him away from looking into, I think, the corruption in Ukraine, the money laundering, the dozens of bio labs that are taxpayer funded that sprouted up in Ukraine in the last 5-6 years. I don't think they wanted Trump looking into the Uranium One deal. That was a Clinton and Obama scandal that the FBI and CIA have covered up. And what you find is that the FBI and the CIA are working against the American people, and they've been covering up these deep state criminals' enterprises and agendas for decades, unfortunately.
You mentioned Uranium One. I actually did a show on that and the amount of corruption that the Clinton crime syndicate is legendary.
Well, yeah, the Uranium One, they had a whistleblower. I think his name was Dennis Montgomery. I wrote about this years ago now, and I don't have it all in front of me or anything, but this whistleblower had everything. I mean, he had tapes, and he had video, and he had documents, and he had the Clintons cold for, you know, all sorts of criminal activity, taking money from the Russians. Everything they accused Trump of, Uranium One proved that Clinton and Obama were doing the exact thing they kept accusing Trump of. And the whole thing was covered up. And I think, you know, people wonder why they are so afraid of Trump. There is so much criminality around the Bushes, the Clintons, and the Obamas that they cannot afford to have anyone that's halfway honest or pro-America to be in office, because everything that these people have done hurt America. And, you know, just like, you know, Afghan or Ukraine, They immediately went after Trump using a phony whistleblower in Eric Ciarmella, and they wouldn't even allow the media to say his name. Eric Ciarmella was a CIA guy. He worked for John Brennan. He worked for Joe Biden at one point. He worked for Adam Schiff at one point. And this is the guy that they brought forward to be a whistleblower against Trump. And that was Trump's biggest problem. Ciarmella had weaseled his way into the working at the White House. There were pictures of him in the West Wing. So Trump did a horrible job. If he gets back in, he needs to fire everybody. Everybody associated with Biden, everybody associated with Bush, with Obama. You know, we've got all these judges in place from the Bush crime family, the Clinton crime family, and from the Obamas who were just horrible for the country. And they advanced this anti-white hate, you know, America. Michelle Obama said she never was proud of her country until Barack got elected. I mean, what a couple of dopes. These people hate America. They hate religious Christians. And they hate white people. Michelle Obama is an affirmative action scholar, just like we've got in Karine Jean-Pierre and the former Caroline Gay, the former Harvard professor, who says it's just race. It's not her 50 instances of plagiarism. It's just racism is why she's gone. So that's why Trump is attacked so viciously, is these people cannot afford to have anyone in office that's going to look into their vast criminality.
Right. I was not aware. Barr goes way back. He goes back to the 80s with the Bushes. He was involved with the Iran-Contra.
Yes. Barr was around for the BCCI, International Bank Scandal, that they laughingly called the bank for crooks and criminals. And it specialized in money laundering, drug money, and other deals that the Bushes were involved in. He was also around for the savings and loan scandal that Neil Bush, George H.W.'s eldest son, was involved in. Neil Bush was best friends with John Hinckley Jr.'s brother. Most people don't know about the Bush-Hinckley family connection. They were neighbors and friends in Houston. And George H.W. Bush, the vice president, Reagan's vice president, was good friends with John Hinckley's father, John Hinckley Sr. They were in the oil business together, and it was rumored that George H.W. loaned Hinckley's father some money when he was going through a rough patch. So John Hinckley Jr. ended up being the guy that shot Reagan and came within a millimeter of ending Reagan's life and putting George H.W. Bush into office just about a month after Reagan was sworn in. No one ever talked about that in the media. Now, who covered that up? Who told those people not to talk about that connection that was so obvious that, well, the American people would have thought that it was a conspiracy to kill Reagan and Bush was involved? Well, they couldn't have that, so they just killed the story before it got started.
Right. You know, it's crazy, the connection between Hinckley and Herbert Walker Bush. If you have done any research into the Kennedy assassination, you know that Herbert Walker was in Dallas the weekend of the assassination of JFK.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, this is the big secret that's out now, is that George H.W. Bush was involved with the CIA long before he officially was with the CIA. If people look at the Bay of Pigs invasion, the two ships, naval ships that they used were called the Houston and the Barbara J. Barbara J being his wife's name, and Houston was where they lived at the time. His whole, you know, oil company executive persona was nothing but a front for his CIA activities. And yes, he was in Dallas that day. He was good friends with George de Morenschild, who was scheduled to testify in the mid-70s at a congressional hearing about the JFK assassination. And he supposedly committed suicide a couple days before the hearing. They found George H.W.'s phone number in his pocket, just like 10 years later they would find George H.W. Bush's phone number, personal phone number, in Barry Seal's pocket. You know, a lot of people don't know Barry Seal was flying missions of flying weapons into the Cuban freedom fighters before the Bay of Pigs invasion for the CIA when he was still in high school. And he was the pilot that flew the assassins, the Operation 40 group assassins, out of Dallas after JFK was shot. Barry Seal was the youngest TWA-747 pilot in their history at the age of 22. And he was also flying drugs for the Bush crime family and the Clinton crime family out of Mena, Arkansas, back in the 80s. But Seal, who was played, by the way, by Dennis Hopper in one movie, and more recently he was played by Tom Cruise in the movie American Maid, he was in the Louisiana Air Guard in the 50s when he was in high school with Lee Harvey Oswald, and his flight commander in the Air Guard was a CIA pilot named David Ferry, who was also involved, implicated in the JFK assassination, and was played by Joe Pesci in Oliver Stone's movie JFK. And he was having some tax problems with the IRS, and he thought that George H.W., who was vice president by this time, Seal had known George H.W. for probably three decades at this point, and the IRS was coming down on him for several million dollars, supposedly, in back taxes that Seal made working for the CIA as the biggest drug smuggler in American history. And he had was frustrated that Bush was not helping him get rid of the IRS. And he called George H.W. Bush, and his attorney overheard the conversation. He told Bush if he didn't get the IRS off his back, that he was going to blow the whistle on the cocaine operation. Well, a week later, he was released from jail and put into a halfway house, where about a week after that, he was machine gunned to death by three Colombian hitmen who were pretty quickly rounded up at the airport there. And they brought the Colombian hitmen in, and the first thing they told them was that they were hired by Oliver North. Well, Oliver North worked for the Bush crime family, and he reported to Jeb Bush at the time. And we know this because Chip Tatum, who Googled Chip Tatum and Project Pegasus, he was another black op pilot, worked for the CIA, worked in Operation Pegasus, which was operating in the Vietnam Golden Triangle back in the 70s. And Chip Tatum was in the room, he said, when George H.W. Bush and Jeb Bush were planning Barry Seal's assassination. And it was also confirmed by Al Martin, who was another CIA insider, former naval intelligence. He wrote a book that I read 20, 25 years ago called The Conspirators, Secrets of an Iran-Contra Insider. And he talks all about the financial crimes, the savings and loan scandals, the BCCI scandals, the murder of Barry Seal, the drug operations in MENA, the illegal arms deals that the Clintons and Bushes were involved in. So yeah, this goes all the way back to the 50s, and they got rid of him, but Barry Seal wasn't the first and he wasn't the last that was killed to keep these people's secrets.
Right. And Barr was also involved in the October surprise plan.
Yeah. Yeah. I read a great book by Rodney Steek. And he talked about Gunther Rusbacher, who was one of the whistleblowers that came forward. Another guy that was a CIA pilot, was intimately involved in the Bush crime family operations. And he flew George H.W. Bush to Paris, France, to meet with Iranian officials during the Iranian, you know, the hostage crisis. And he was in the room when Bush made the deal for the Iranians to hold the hostages until after the election to humiliate Jimmy Carter and give Bush an edge in the election, and that's exactly what happened.
So the roots of Barr and his connection with the Bush crime family is deep. It's almost a generational type of arrangement.
Yes, if you look at a Barr, and I've read so many books on this, Barry and the Boys. Look up Barry and the Boys by Daniel Hopsicker, a tremendous book. There's just a number of excellent books out there by people that were there. Bill Barr used an alias when he was doing business for the Bush crime family. You know, people have been reading that Joe Biden uses aliases. All of these people, government officials that are involved in drug smuggling, money laundering, you name it, they all have aliases, assumed names. So, but if you look at Barr's history, his father is a typical intelligence guy. If you look at his background, you know, he went to Columbia, these Eastern schools like Yale, Princeton, a lot of your military intelligence people come out of Princeton, the Skull and Bones at Yale, not as many through Harvard, but some. Barr's father was an OSS guy, which was the precursor to the CIA. He was trained as an engineer. He took a job in the 70s as the headmaster of Dalton School, which was a very exclusive elite prep school for the sons of rich people, politicians, military officers, foreign heads of state. And he hired Jeffrey Epstein as a math teacher at Dalton. And it came out later that Epstein didn't even have a college degree. Now, who in the world would hire a math teacher for the richest people in the world that doesn't have a college degree? The answer is nobody. Nobody would. So that whole thing was fishy from the start. And then you had Barr's father was also an author and wrote fiction. And he wrote books about older men having sex with younger women. I imagine he was probably Jeffrey Epstein's handler for a time before he got cheap dipped by the Israeli Mossad, who met him when he was running around with Ghislaine Maxwell, whose father was a legendary Mossad agent whose front was newspaper and magazine billionaire. A lot of these Mossad and intelligence agents have fronts as, you know, something other than they're not. So, and now you've got his daughter, Barr's daughter, who is a prosecutor for the Southern District of New York, where we get an awful lot of, you know, fishy stuff coming out of there over the last several decades. It's kind of like, you know, what was going on in Boston when Bob Mueller was protecting Whitey Bulger and the Irish mob in Boston, allowing them to murder people and go right along with their, you know, their criminal activity as long as he threw them a bone occasionally. That's how our system operates. That's how our intelligence operates. They set people up and they use operatives to set people up, just like the 1993 World Trade Center bombing never would have got off the ground without the FBI being behind just about everything. They recruited the guy. They gave him the explosives. You know, they did everything. And the guy that actually, you know, triggered it, he thought that they were fake explosives. He thought it was a drill. So, you know, just like going back to Barry Seal, you know, I spoke with Judith Vary Baker, who was Lee Harvey Oswald's girlfriend. She was in the CIA. She worked for David Ferry. I spoke with her one night on the Jim Fetzer show. He had her on as a guest, and he asked me if I wanted to stay on and talk to her. I said, are you kidding me? Of course. So I talked to her about, you know, Barry Seal, and she said Barry Seal and Lee Harvey Oswald were still buddies right up to the JFK assassination. She said that Lee Harvey Oswald worked for the CIA. She said he worked with the FBI in cases, and there's evidence of that. There's a lot of evidence that he worked for the CIA. So you've got Tosh Plumlee, who was another CIA pilot, that said he ran into Lee Harvey Oswald at a safe house 6 months before the JFK assassination. He would not have been in a CIA safe house if he didn't work for the CIA. So he was undercover. Judith Vary Baker told me that everything that Lee Harvey Oswald did as far as, you know, this undercover work was while working for the CIA. When he was handing out pamphlets on street corners for communists, that he was working undercover for the CIA. So, you know, these things, most people just don't have any idea. And Lee Harvey Oswald, they never even found one of his fingerprints, you know, in the room, the crow's nest, they like to call it now, in that room. The only fingerprint they found was LBJ's personal assassin, Mack Wallace. So, and there were probably a half a dozen, if not more, shooters in the JFK. They had more assassins there at JFK than they had with, until Bobby Kennedy was killed. And, you know, you can look in those old pictures and they found half a dozen CIA assassins in that room that night. So, you know, our history is just based on fairy tales that our government tells us. We're lied to about everything. We were lied to about 9/11. We were lied to, and you know, you've got the Bush connection with 9/11. you know, Bush's uncle and his brother were on the board of Securicom, which had the contract for security for the entire Twin Tower complex. And so you could look into that, but people should check out my article, you know, JFK, the CIA, and mainstream media deception, because, you know, it's all just a big lie.
You know, it's amazing how much truth never reaches the public.
Right.
We're supposed to trust that our elected officials put us first, when in actuality, their only goal is to get reelected so they can maintain the power and the control that they're exercising in D.C. And you mentioned Lee Harvey handing out communist pamphlets. I do believe I read somewhere that the father of Texas Senator Ted Cruz,
yes. And I asked Judith Vary Baker if that was Ted Cruz's father, and she said it was. She told me it was his father. You know, getting back to my article, you know, Bill Barr was never on Donald Trump's side. I think anybody that looks back, thinks back to that whole, what, two and a half years that he was on board, if you just look at what he did with the election, he promised to investigate these hundreds of whistleblower complaints about fraudulent ballots, fraudulent registrations. There was no custody of ballots. They did not allow signature verification. How can anyone say that this was a fair election? Bill Barr was going to look into all that. He claims that he looked into the election and found no evidence of wrongdoing, but because someone, Jeff Clark, did a Freedom of Information request looking into that investigation and found that Bill Barr never did one single thing about investigating that election. He lied about it, and he ought to be called on it, but that's another thing that just won't happen with our media. And the people that watch Fox News, the company that just cut Mike Lindell off, saying that he's behind on his bill, Mike Lindell said that's nonsense. The only reason they cut off Mike Lindell is because he's pro-Trump. That's the only reason. And that's the reason that they're not going to talk about Bill Barr and this investigation that he didn't do.
No, they won't touch Bill Barr because he's part of the syndicate that is controlling D.C. And Fox, CNN, CNBC, none of them are going to do anything to promote Trump or expose the criminality that is going on between the FBI, the CIA, the DOJ, the DIA, the Pentagon. None of that will ever come to the fore in controlled media. They don't want it to happen, and they can't afford for it to happen because they could actually foment a true insurrection of the people. Because I don't know about you, but I'm fed up with all of the shenanigans going on in D.C., and it's coming to a head, and it's going to lead to, I believe, another Civil War-type outbreak here in America. Well, Pat, we have flown through 30 minutes. We're going to have to take a brief pause. My guest today is Pat McShay. We are discussing Bill Barr and the Bush crime family. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Stay with us, won't you? We'll be right back. Hello, friends. Jerry Barrett back with you again. I want to tell you about an outstanding new book that we are offering through the ministry. It's entitled America's Cultural Revolution, How the Radical Left Conquered Everything. In his powerful new book, Christopher F. Ruffo uncovers the hidden history of left-wing intellectuals and activists who systematically took control of America's institutions to undermine them from within. America's Cultural Revolution finally answers many of the questions that normal Americans have. These include, why is nearly every major corporation bending the knee to a far-left agenda? How did DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, suddenly become the department no institution can continue without? Why is race the main thing America's rich white elite want to talk about? When did the left adopt all this doublespeak, saying progress is a lack of progress, equality is not equality, speech is violence, and violence is speech? Has the goal of the left for a century actually been the destruction of every Western institution? Readers may not know the names of Herbert Marcuse, Angela Davis, and Derrick Bell, but they will recognize the ideas they spread, how their radical, destructive ideology slowly worked its way from prisons to academia to classrooms to your human resources department will come as a shock. Failing to act soon, Mr. Ruffo warns, could allow the radical left to achieve their ultimate objective, replacing constitutional equality with a race-based redistribution system overseen by bureaucratic diversity and inclusion officials. Most Americans don't want this, but most Americans are no longer in control of our institutions. If the mainstream media's depiction of a failing dystopia in need of a fresh start never sounded right to you, this expose and call to arms is the book you've been looking for. America's Cultural Revolution, How the Radical Left Conquered Everything. 352-page hardback book. We're only asking $32. Please add $6 shipping and handling. That'll make your total $38 for this outstanding book. You can order your copy by phoning us toll-free in the United States and Canada at 1-800-234-9673. Again, that's 1-800-234-9673. If you care to phone us on our regular line, that number is 512-263-9780. We're in the office Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Time. We accept Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express. You can use those charge cards at our secure shopping cart at powerofprophecy.com. Powerofprophecy.com. There's an ad for the book right there on the main page. Click on it, put in your name, address, charge card, shipping method, hit submit, we'll get it and get it coming to you. If you want to send in a check or money order or cash, please make your check or money order payable to Power of Prophecy. You can mail it to us here at 4819 R.O. Drive, Suite 102, Spicewood, Texas, and our zip code is 78669. America's Cultural Revolution, explosive book. You need a copy. Order yours today. Okay, and now let's continue our interview with Pat McShay. Pat, welcome back.
It's great to be with you, Jerry.
We always have so much fun. Just if people could listen to the conversation between the recordings, they would be boggled beyond belief, because we talk about going down these rabbit holes and they're deep, and the deeper you go and the more tunnels you come across, the more you uncover and the more things get exposed, they're interlinked, aren't they?
You know, they sure are. I've been going down these rabbit holes since I was about 12 or 13 years old. My dad, he was into real history, and he read, you know, just stuff that is in print, but the media won't talk about. You know, I was reading guys like Sherman Skolnick with the old Spotlight, Christopher Bolin, the American Free Press, Victor Thorne, guys like that. And, you know, you pick up stuff over the years. I've just read hundreds of books and articles, and yeah, you find that we're just being lied to about everything. I started to talk about the Bush connection to the John Lennon assassination that I wrote about in an article I wrote about 7 years ago called Kennedy, Lennon, Reagan, 9/11, the Bush connection. I think it was the name of it. But John Lennon, when he was killed, you know, they immediately blamed it on Mark David Chapman. What most people don't know is the man that was working the door that night at the Dakota building where Lennon lived was Jose Perdomo. And Jose Perdomo worked for Frank Sturgis. He was a mentor to Jose Perdomo. And Jose Perdomo was a trained assassin who also, for a time, worked for Operation 40, which was an American government assassination squad. And Jose Perdomo somehow ended up as the doorman the night that John Lennon was killed. Matter of fact, when the police showed up and said, you know, what happened here? Jose Perdomo said, talk to that guy. And Mark David Chapman said that guy did it. And the police went over and were talking to Chapman and they said, there's no way that this guy did it, you know. And I'm sure that the government was behind that. The government hated John Lennon. At the time, they were trying to kick him out of the United States over a small drug charge. I think it was a marijuana possession charge. J. Edgar Hoover at the time had a file as thick as two yellow pages on John Lennon, and he just couldn't stand him. You know, but that's just one example of, you know, what I'm talking about, that, you know, we don't have a clear picture of much of anything. There was a big scandal back in the late 80s that about a homosexual prostitution ring based out of a 5-story brownstone in Washington, D.C. that was run by a lobbyist named Craig Spence. And the entire building, this was a precursor to what Jeffrey Epstein was doing. All the rooms were recording everything that was done in the rooms. They were luring politicians, military officers, and businessmen into these rooms with young boys or young underage girls and filming and recording them to use as blackmail against them. The same thing Jeffrey Epstein was doing for the Israeli Mossad. Isn't it interesting that the media, knowing that Epstein worked for the Mossad, Ghislaine Maxwell, a longtime Mossad agent, her father, a longtime decorated Mossad agent, when her father died, he received a funeral like he was the head of state over there. But the Franklin cover-up is a book about this pedophile ring that was a nationwide pedophile ring, much like what they found out was going on at Penn State University. And I think that was a much bigger pedophile ring that was nipped in the bud when they threw Jerry Sandusky under the bus and probably killed Joe Pa with a fast-acting cancel. Who knows? But the bottom line is the Bush family was implicated in that pedophile scandal. A couple of the kids named George H.W. Bush as having been at these parties where these young boys were brought out to service these men. And the whole thing was covered up. And they found out that the FBI and police units were also involved in the cover-up, just like the military and the CIA and FBI covered up the drug smuggling and the money laundering in the 80s and the 70s and 80s. They've been covering up this pedophile ring, these pedophile rings. You know, most people don't understand that many of the Western countries are controlled by elite pedophiles. England, Ireland, Scotland, Belgium, Australia, France. Pedophile rings have been busted in all these countries. Nicole Kidman's father, who was a doctor and a very wealthy man, was involved in the pedophile ring. People have come, whistleblowers have come forward and said that Nicole Kidman was abused by this pedophile ring. So this is going on all over the Western world, and it's being covered up. King Charles' best friend was the notorious pedophile, Jimmy Savile, who was knighted by the Queen. Margaret Thatcher was covering up a huge pedophile ring when she was in office. So this is well known to these people in the media. They just refuse to cover it because they'll all lose their jobs if they do.
You mentioned pedophile rings. I mean, we have a pedophile, it seems, in the White House now. The guy, yeah, he's cringeworthy.
Well, in his daughter's diary, and they do know it's his daughter's diary, or they wouldn't have gone to such lengths suing and arresting, swatting James O'Keefe over, you know, having just a copy of the diary, which was all over the internet by then, so it was kind of overkill, but she admits in the diary that her father molested her. Why is no one in the media talking about that? It's just mind-boggling.
Right. And Hunter's no better.
Yeah, Hunter, there are pictures on the laptop. And this is what really gets me about Bill Barr. The one paragraph in my new article that everyone should read is the article or the paragraph that talks about Bill Barr had the laptop in December 2019, possibly earlier. So a good year before the election in 2020, Bill Barr's Department of Justice and FBI had this laptop that not only showed Hunter Biden in dozens of pictures and videos with little girls 8 to 10 years old wearing revealing lingerie and makeup, and him wearing loose fitting robes that had to have his private parts blacked out. They also found that millions of dollars had been sent to Joe Biden from Ukraine, Romania, Russia, and China. You know, just the Russian oligarch, the former mayor of Moscow, who was a good friend of Vladimir Putin's, sent $3.5 million to Hunter Biden. So, and they know now that the Chinese sent him millions of dollars and an expensive diamond worth $80,000 to $100,000. Romania sent him, $1 million and sent him money to buy a new sports car. Oh, you can't make this stuff up. And Bill Barr had all this information that would have immediately turned this election on its ear, and Biden would have been out. Trump would have ran away with it in a rout. And what did Barr do? He did nothing. He sent it to the Delaware Attorney General's office, where Biden crimes go to die. Any investigation that is sent there dies. So Bill Barr could have put Trump in the White House just by doing the right thing. And he couldn't even do that. So that is disturbing. And then you had Chris Wallace. Again, I don't know why anybody watches Fox News, but Trump brought up the millions of dollars that Hunter Biden was getting from these countries, and Chris Wallace shut him down and wouldn't let him talk about it. Folks, that's not debate. That's nothing but censorship. Biden has been all about censorship. Censorship, forced vaccinations, and tyranny. It's hard to believe that the average Democrat doesn't see Biden is nothing but a globalist. He wants tyranny. He wants dystopia. He doesn't want free speech. He wants one government news agency. He doesn't want anyone else talking about any other agendas. He doesn't want any other side of the story, even though it proves him a liar. That's what they want. They just want state news like Pravda, the old Russian Pravda news, which was nothing but propaganda. That's what we have in this country today. And if they get rid of programs like this one, websites like the great websites out there today that we can still go to, the censorship is getting worse every day. And we have to stop this censorship, and we need to have politicians that come out against this push to give the World Health Organization this approval for this pandemic treaty. We will lose our American sovereignty. That's what they want. That's why the borders are open. They want to bust the system. They want to bankrupt America, although America is actually bankrupt right now. They want to put us in the poorhouse, and they want to cut Social Security. Nikki Haley wants to cut Social Security. She wants to make the retirement age 70 or more, and she wants to cut Medicaid, period. So that's where these people are taking us, Jerry.
They want us to become a third world dung heap and not be the great experiment that succeeds. Now, I know Bill Barr has since been outed as a gun grabber. He is pro-gun control. But do you think Donald Trump was aware of that before he put him in as the attorney general?
I absolutely do not. Although, you know, the sad thing about Trump and his dream team, as he liked to call it early on, it didn't look like they vetted anybody. Well, you know, he brought in H.R. McMaster to a top position and apparently didn't know that he used to work for George Soros. How do you not know that? A simple Google search reveals that he used to work for George Soros. Everyone on the Ukraine desk was involved in the money laundering and all that, you know, criminality over there. You can't tell me that they weren't. And they brought those people in to testify in this ridiculous fake impeachment against Trump. So Trump has to be very careful if he gets back in office who he chooses to be in this administration. He needs to fire everybody. Do you think Obama kept anybody from the Bush administration? I guarantee you he didn't keep a single person you know, the little old lady who's been a secretary there for 40 years, he got rid of her. And that's what Trump needs to do. Any of these people that have anything to do with the deep state and keeping our legislators from doing their job, they need to go. And it wouldn't be that hard. You know, I told a friend of mine back early on in Trump's administration, what he ought to do is go to Liberty College and some of these Christian universities and bring in these young law students that are Trump supporters that haven't been totally corrupted by the deep state and start filling positions around him with these bright, young, patriot Christians. First of all, that would drive the left absolutely crazy, but we'd actually get some stuff done and Trump wouldn't be getting backstabbed in the back at every single turn. All these leaks that came out in the Trump administration were all coming out from these holdovers from the Bush and Obama administration. People need to start looking at these Bush-appointed judges just as cautiously as they do with the Biden and Obama judges, because the Bush's criminality is right up there with Obama, Biden, and the Clintons. These people are all anti-American globalists. And the global agenda has us owning nothing and being happy with it.
Right.
That's what Klaus Schwab wants for us. He doesn't want us to own homes. They don't want us driving cars. They don't want us moving across state lines. They don't even want us moving outside of our city, hence the push towards these 15-minute cities. They want us on buses or bicycles or walking. So people need to wake up, man. Global warming is a hoax. And we've got to stop committing trillions of taxpayer dollars to this hoax. And Trump's biggest issue, if he's reelected, is going to be these protesters, these Antifa, these Black Lives Matter, whatever you call them. These people are nothing more than Marxist operatives, just like Napoleon faced when he went up against the Jacobites and tried to kill Napoleon, and they were constantly harassing him, constantly going after him. It's the old Saul Alinsky, you know, rules for radicals. Go after them, go after the people around them. Single them out, humiliate them. That's exactly what they've done to Trump. That's what they're going to do with everyone that endorses Trump and everyone that he appoints to positions in his administration. He needs to cut off the mainstream media and start talking to the independent media and make certain that the independent media stays independent and uncensored. That is a must to keep this country safe, secure, and independent. We have to have it.
You know, it's funny because when Trump ran in 16, he talked about draining the swamp, cleaning it out. And then when he got in office, every political appointee he had was either a member of the CFR or the Bilderbergers or a deep stater, case in point, Bill Barr. There, he didn't clean house like you have said he needs to, and I agree 100%. There is no way that if you want to make America great again, you can do the status quo and keep these jackwagons in D.C. in positions of power.
Well, have you seen what this new movement is? I just read about it in the last day or so, is they are trying to, they want to change the law so that the president can't call out the National Guard, can't call out the army during riots and unrest, you know, in the states. So they're doing that because of Trump, because they know they're going to unleash these mobs that are going to start looting. They're going to start burning the cities. They're going to start attacking the police. And you've got now a woke army. You've got woke police. You know, look at January 6th. You know, who's the great congressman, that has come out and said that he believes that there were at least 200 undercover FBI and police on January 6th. They know that Antifa had a rally at the Capitol building while Trump was still speaking. Those are the people that were breaking into the Capitol while Trump was still speaking. People need to look at Laura Logan, former 60 Minutes reporter. She's doing a wonderful documentary series on January 6th, and she's exposing these criminal politicians on the January 6th committee that lied through their teeth about everything, withheld evidence, withheld video, in order to convict these people and give them a dozen and more years in prison for a lot of them. Now they're going after 1,000 more people to convict who never even went into the Capitol. So this is all a witch hunt. And now Joe Biden is calling anyone who supports Donald Trump as a suspicious character, as a potential terrorist.
Yeah.
And what does that remind you of, Jerry? That reminds me of the Patriot Act when it came out back in, 2002? The Patriot Act had already been written before 9/11 because 9/11 was long planned, just like the COVID pandemic was long planned. The Patriot Act didn't target foreign terrorists. It targeted American citizens, people that they called enemy combatants. And you know who they called enemy combatants in the Patriot Act 20 plus years ago? They called Christians enemy combatants. They called veterans enemy combatants, constitutionalists, patriots as enemy combatants. So all of a sudden, if you're a constitutionalist, if you don't support abortion, if you don't support this demonic mental illness of transgenderism, if you don't support sexualizing our children, if you don't support this DEI agenda in the corporate world, then you're going to be canceled. If you're an actor and you don't support these causes, you're canceled. If you're businesses and you don't, like Mike Lindell and MyPillow, if you don't go along with these programs, we will cancel the biggest pillow company in the world. And they have the ability to do it, and they know that they can scare people into doing what they're told. So that's what we face.
Well, Pat, we have flown through an hour, brother. I want to thank you for coming on and being a guest of Power Prophecy again.
It's my pleasure, Jerry.
Okay, that's going to take care of this week's program. My guest today has been Pat McShay. I want to thank you for tuning in and giving us an hour of your time. We greatly appreciate it. And as always, I pray you will tune in again next week at this same time. Tune in and discover the power of prophecy.